Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If we had it our way, every single wrestling moment would rock. Sadly, that's not very realistic, and sometimes a company takes a bat, swings as hard as it can, and misses entirely. Damn it! I'm Simon from What Culture, please do subscribe, and this is 10 wrestling moments that should have been huge, but weren't. Number 10, the Summer of Discontent. When the very topical CM Punk dropped his pipe bomb promo on Raw, he changed the game, or at least broke the glass ceiling and moved himself up the card. It all culminated in him apparently quitting while also becoming WWE champion, and it was excellent. All of this felt legit. For one reason or another, though, the powers that be had no idea that just having Punk beat people would have helped no end, so instead brought in Kevin Nash, had CM lose the title, threw Triple H into the mix, and then added something with John Laurinaitis. It was everything you didn't really want, and was as if WWE had grabbed your nice new balloon and popped it. As such, the summer of 2011 just wasn't what it should have been, which was one of the reasons CM Punk decided to go home in 2014. Number 9, redemption for Mizdow. Damian Mizdow was never meant to be as popular as he was. Being the Miz's stunt double, where he would replicate every single move he did, sounded like a silly thing to do on Raw, but man, the crowd loved it, and rightfully so. Former Damian Sandow was great at it. The point was, it clicked, and everybody assumed we would do something huge with this. We did not. It was obvious they would have to start to fall out, and what better way to do that than to have the Miz get jealous of his right-hand man's success. This meant when they were both thrown into the Andre the Giant Battle Royal at WrestleMania 31, it was on a platter. Have them be the final pair. Damo chucks out his now enemy, boom, away we go. And sure, we got half of that. Sandow did turn on his brutal mentor and hurl him over the top rope, but this didn't mean he was getting anything major on the other side. Because as soon as he had done that, the Big Show was waiting, stole his dream, and won. What were we even thinking? Number 8, the Forever Debate. So this one will spark conversation, and that's always good. But as I say these words, it has been around 25 years since Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels locked horns at WrestleMania 12 in the now infamous Iron Man match. Going 60 minutes at any point in history is tough, because that's a long while to keep fans interested, but who better to do it than two of the best ever? The reason for the divide, I feel, is simple. In terms of watching it for entertainment, it does go a little bit too long, but if you've ever been in a ring, my word, this is the greatest thing you've ever seen. The fact they keep up somewhat of a pace for an hour is nuts, so praise has to be sent in its direction. The decision to not have any falls, though, does hurt it somewhat. Pins and submissions get people excited, so to go this length with not one almost comes across like an afterthought, toying with the expectations that needed to be met. Hence why these days it doesn't smack bang as the big event it once was, although that could also be down to how much we learned after the fact. That HBK celebration just means so much more than we could have ever known. Number 7, I did it for The Rock. It was one of the biggest storylines of 1999 because somebody decided to get behind the wheel of a car and run over Stone Cold Steve Austin. This was proper soap opera Who Shot JR stuff, and it worked in the build-up to the reveal. Everybody wanted to know who it was. And look, going for Rikishi wasn't the worst idea either. The former head shrinker was ridiculously over during this time period and deserved a go at the top. The problem was, it should have been as a good guy and not as an attempted murderer. No one wanted to see Keish in that spot, so when he told us he did it for The Rock, Well, it sucked. On top of that, the Great One just destroyed Rikishi for doing it for The Rock, so he looked like an idiot. And before long, we had moved the whole blame game onto Triple H, who apparently put him up to it or something. I don't know. He was the mastermind, leaving Mr. Too Cool to sink back down to the mid-card. It felt like a swerve for the sake of a swerve, and they rarely work, mostly because there's always 100 plot holes that will make you want to slap your own head. Trust me, I know all about that. Number 6, the SummerSlam. When Edge and Matt Hardy clashed at SummerSlam 2005, this was as real as it could get. Hardy's girlfriend and fellow wrestler Lita had been having an affair with best buddy Edge, leaving Matt, understandably, to go through a very difficult time in his life, which also ended with him losing his job. This all felt like a little bit too much for anyone. As it leaked out everywhere onto planet Earth, WWE quickly made the Rated R Superstar and Lita a team, and when fan support got so loud it was upending shows, thankfully Matt was brought back into the fold. There was no question they were going to have a match, which was a testament to all involved given the animosity, but nobody thought it was going to go the way it did. Because despite the fact it was Hardy who needed something, Edge was booked to whip his ass so badly at the hottest show of the summer, the referee called it off. So just to recap, Matt lost his pal, Matt lost his girl, and then was punched so hard he wasn't allowed to finish his revenge. This is one of those easy layups where you just have to do what makes sense, but no! It took the life out of whatever this was and we never looked back. Before long, both guys were on separate programs. The best use of the brand split ever. Number 5, the Ultimate Triple Threat. Maybe this one is being a little bit unkind, as it was a moment in and of itself, but it was just what had come before it. Because if you're a total wrestling fan in the mid-90s, in 10 years' time, Eric Bischoff, Paul Heyman, and Vince McMahon will be stood in the same ring to co-promote a pay-per-view. You would have been kicked in the shin. Nobody likes a liar. And yet here we were on a May Raw, and that was exactly what was happening. WCW and ECW had long died, but three of the most influential individuals in wrestling history were working together to try and sell One Night Stand as much as they possibly could. It was really cool to see, but again, while WWE acted like this was hell freezing over, it kind of become commonplace. We'd seen The Invasion, we'd seen Bischoff hug Vince, Paul had been a commentator. It was a little bit strange it was even being sold this way, because if you were a long-term viewer, you knew the deal. Still, it would always be incredible we even reached this stage to begin with. At one point, I bet at least one of them would have smacked the other for real. Number 4, Charlotte versus Bayley. The weeks before Charlotte and Bayley were going to clash at Payback after a WrestleMania 33 encounter, the then-hugger just randomly won the title on Raw. This came shortly after Flair had won the gold from Sasha Banks at Roadblock, and every single person in the world couldn't figure out why we hadn't waited until Mania. Bayley getting her victory there would have felt huge. She still retained at the show of shows by pinning Charlotte again, but as we expected, it wasn't quite the spectacle it was, and that just made this whole period even stranger. To top that off, Bells then lost the belt to Alexa Bliss at Payback, and if you're now thinking, wait a minute, this sounds like WWE didn't have a plan and were kind of making it up as they went along, well, yes. Number 3, Sting. Sting is one of the best ever. I refuse to hear the counter-argument because he's now been a smash success in 5 decades, and that is ridiculous. Doesn't just happen to any rules. It's why he always had to do something with WWE eventually, and I'm truly pleased that he did. It was lovely seeing him have his run there, and once again proves that no matter where he goes, he becomes a legend. Sadly, I'm not sure Vince McMahon was aware of this, because what were we doing at WrestleMania 31? It was fine, he was fighting Triple H, it was fine, he had a weird drum entrance, it was fine the NWO and DX were involved. Well, no, that bit's not true. But as long as the icon won, who cares? And then, of course, he didn't. As ever, McMahon couldn't accept the idea of a WCW guy going over a WWE guy, despite buying the company years prior, so he had this odd match where Sting and Hunter shook hands, even though the game won after clocking the Stinger in the head with a sledgehammer. It really did take the wind out of its sails, but hey, it's not like Sting doesn't have approximately 45,789 other memories he can think about instead. Number 2, the end of Punk. CM Punk was always going to lose the WWE title at the 2013 Royal Rumble. Despite holding it for over a year, the voice of the voiceless was going against The Rock, so it was obvious what was going to happen, and this is why it was such a shame. Firstly, if WWE had gone with Punk's plan to do a triple threat at WrestleMania 39, that would have been his 500th day as champion. That would have been a pretty badass thing to promote, especially as The Great One versus John Cena, Once in a Lifetime Part 2, didn't even need the title, so you could have put CM Punk somewhere else on the card. And even if WWE did think it needed a title, you can put CM Punk in there, and in his own words, let him be beaten pretty early on, leaving these other two to fight. As it wasn't in the plans, it was never going to be the plan, so after an incredible title reign, Punk's last match was as telegraphed as they come, and that is not the way. He should have been able to go out in a huge fashion, And while clashing with the People's Champion isn't the worst, it didn't hit the levels it could have done otherwise. Number one, the other side of the invasion. We all know the deal with this, and the invasion could be an entry all of its own. It's been done to death, though, and it is what it is. No WCW stars, my man not wanting WWE to look weak, DDP's a pervert, all stupid, all bad. What was even more nuts, though, is that because Vince's biggest stars were moved around to lead both parties, on the house show circuit in 2001, fans were being treated to Stone Cold Steve Austin, the WWE champion, versus The Rock, the WCW champion. I mean, come on. Straight off, why did this make it to TV properly? And secondly, it was like the walking embodiment for all the other madness. Two of the biggest titles ever were being fought over, but it wasn't how us nerds had dreamed about it. It was just two WWE guys scrapping as if WCW didn't even exist. It's not a real problem because Rocky and the Rattlesnake was wrestling gold every single time, but when you do take a step back and take all the context in, my word, this is a strange universe we are living in.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.